I bring to you grace and peace from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from Colossians chapter 2. And it is the resting point for the lever of Paul's message to this church. It's the fulcrum, and it connects the faith that we've talked about beforehand to the life that Paul will talk about for the rest of this letter. And so as we come to this word, as we connect faith with life, especially on a weekend in America that is just, again, captures our attention in some very specific ways that I'll talk about, let's bend our heads and our hearts to the throne of God and the King that hears our prayers and answers us for the sake of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace today that calls us into this room. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that you nourish and build up your body, the church, of which we are a part. Speak to us a word this day, a word that helps us see reality as it really is, and nevertheless to trust in you regardless of the clear and present dangers presented to us. We ask all of these things in the name, the matchless name of Jesus, our Savior, who gives us hope. In his name, amen. For the past 2 weeks, we have been in this message series, and if you recall, if you were here 2 weeks ago, we were basically giving each other high fives and applauding each other for all the things that we do that show our faith and show our conviction and our commitment to walk with Jesus. Whether it be just coming to church on a weekend and setting aside an hour out of 168 total hours in a week, dedicating 1 hour to the corporate worship of God, whether it be contending for the faith with our children or our aging parents, whether it be listening to a sermon, not just showing up in worship, but actually engage in worship, not just practicing a habit. And we applauded each other, and it was lots and lots of fun. But what we wanted to do through that was to hear or overhear the applause of heaven as God sees the faith of you and I in action. Last week we talked about the deep truth that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He actually brings to bear the power of heaven in this world. And so we got into the conversation around fake news and declared on the basis of Scripture that we can engage in all kinds of fake news in this world, but here's the truth. When God claims, when Scripture claims that God has entered this world through His Son, Jesus Christ, we stand on that gospel news being truth for us without apology and with great conviction. But now, as I said at the beginning of this message, now we come to the tipping point, the threshold, the doorway through which we connect faith, that faith we've talked about and affirmed to this point, with life. And if you would look with me there in your worship folder, I want to take you to the centerpiece sentence that is essential for you to make the leap from faith into vital Christian living. This is, from this pastor's estimation, the central line that brings the medicine of heaven to your heart and soul and gives you life in this world. It is in the second paragraph there. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Underline that sentence. And particularly, circle the words, the spiritual powers of this world. If not with a pen, then certainly make a mental image of it with your mind. That sentence is the chief capture, that is the screenshot spiritually that we have to take today, and I need you to suck it in and hold it tight. I need you to capture that sentence. I need you to capture that sentence because what Paul is saying essentially there is that there is a world principle, there is a governing driver at work in reality in real time on an ongoing basis that animates the activity of this world. Last week, we talked in Colossians chapter 1 about the unseen rulers, authorities, and powers that are at work behind the curtain of physical reality, material reality that we see. We talked about those rulers, authorities, and powers being active in the functioning of this world. We sang about those rulers and authorities and powers in that great hymn of the church with the ye's and the thou's, ye watchers and ye holy ones, cherubims, seraphims, thrones. We sang about all of that that happens behind the curtain of material reality. But even for them, there is something deeper that drives the bus. And that is, there is at work a worldly, dark, evil, clear, present power that drives them, that animates them. And so we come to a weekend like we have this weekend in America, with a women's march on Friday. I'm sorry, a pro-life march and rally on Friday, a women's march on Saturday, and a government shutdown Saturday night. And I would be remiss as a pastor, having planned to preach this text for weeks now, if I would allow this text to be preached without making reference to what is taking place in this material world we live in, and in which thrones and powers and authorities are active nevertheless. Let's start, with the pro-life rally. On the one hand, there is something great and good that happened in Washington on Friday, and that was that the value that God has for life, the life that He authors in each and every one of us, that life was honored. Life for the preborn, life for the elderly, life for those that have to live through special needs that they have, either physically or mentally or emotionally, life for those that are the orphan, the alien, the fatherless, the widow. That is all part of that pro-life rally, not just anti-abortion activists, but life in its fullness. And we celebrate that here in this congregation. We celebrate that advocacy for life. We are a pro-life congregation in the greatest sense, the most apolitical sense of that word. We value life, life that the Creator God has given to every human being that walks and lives and can live in this world. But there are still, nevertheless, even in the most well-intentioned gatherings, evidence that the worldly powers that Paul criticizes and judges and points out here, the worldly powers that animate dark and false philosophies, even in those kinds of beautiful gatherings, those powers can be active. Because on the one hand, if you advocate for life and its sanctity and its beauty and its morality, but at the same time, you turn a blind eye to other examples of gross morality that are at work in our government and in our culture, there is an offset there. And the clear and present danger that Paul is pointing out here, the clear and present danger that separates faith from life and our living, that clear and present danger becomes a reality. On Saturday, we had a women's march. And this congregation unapologetically advocates for the dignity and the stature of women in this world, in our society. And we recognize that there is something about the hashtag MeToo movement that is good, that is restorative, that is God-honoring, because God did not create a world filled with men and women. He created a world with men and women, but every last one of whom has honor and dignity before their and in the eyes of their Creator, and for that, we advocate for that. We honor that. It's a good and God-honoring thing. Scripture speaks of that. I preach at weddings on Ephesians chapter 5. Where husbands and wives are called to serve each other with the dignity that God has given to both of them. To both of them, with equal stature in the house. And yet, we all know, that there are forces at work in every political movement, including that one, in which world powers and spiritual principles and dark philosophies, those things are at work. And it's one thing as a Christian to advocate for the dignity of women, and on the other hand, to turn a blind eye to other claims, assertions, or policies that are in conflict with the holy word of God. And then on Saturday night, we had the government shutdown. Is it the Schumer shutdown? Or is it the Trump shutdown? We have basically an equal congregation. If we want, we can have the Schumerites over here and the Trumpers over here. We won't do that. But I know with Pastor Meggers, with Jacob, with the other ministers of our church, it is never a dull moment getting into a conversation with Christians who see the world in a very politically divided way and have clearly chosen their side of the aisle, proverbially. But I would be remiss if as a pastor, I didn't point out to you that for those of you who are Democrats, you need to have the courage to be able to say there are some things in the Republican arguments that ought to be listened to. And the same thing for those of you who are card-carrying members of the Republican Party. I'd be remiss if I didn't challenge you to say there are things that the Democrats are arguing for. You see, because the fact of the matter is, what we read here in Colossians is true. There is a governing driver for the powers, authorities, and rulers beyond the curtain of reality that animate our lives in this material world. And that power, that worldly driver, is not from God. Only God's word is from God. And it's on the basis of God's word that we stand. And therefore, that's why Paul says, watch out. Don't let anybody capture you, because only in Christ the fullness of God lives in a human body and expresses itself through a human body. And each and every one of our hearts is tethered by grace to Christ, but is also buffeted, pushed, cajoled, ridiculed, judged in such a way that we respond to these worldly powers, and we are called to be sober-minded as Christians. God has made us alive, it is said, in Christ. And by that great way, He has disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them by publicly giving a victory over them to us through the cross. And so, let me just finish up this message and invite you to come with a very prayerful heart to the throne of God during Holy Communion with this reality. Back in Paul's day, in Colossae, in Greece, there were judgments being made. And you can see it in that final paragraph. Judgments around what people are eating and drinking. Were they following the Old Testament Leviticus laws about what was right and good to eat and drink, or were you not? And there was a great dispute among them 2,000 years ago. There were certain holy days and celebrations when a new moon would come along every month or so. And on Sabbath days, there were certain days, kind of like what we have done with midweek services in our traditional Protestant churches. You know, I always love as a pastor when I talk with Some members, and they come on midweek services during Advent and Lent, and they say, where's the rest of the church? Why don't we have 1,000 people showing up for midweek services? And if you don't show up for a midweek service, you're somehow less than a Christian. That's kind of what's in play here in Colossians. Love coming to worship services, but at the end of the day, it's not about the attendance at a particular worship service. It's a life of worship services and a lifestyle. Now in our day, we come to all kinds of other dividers and deciders about what makes evangelical Christianity true Christianity. And my call to you today is to remember that you are a child of God. You were purchased and won not by a political party or a social cause. You were purchased and won by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are rooted in Him, and now you are encouraged in this text in Colossians to grow up into Him, into the fullness of Christ, who is the head of the body. You are defined not by the vote you cast in a ballot box, as much as you are defined by the faith that votes for Jesus and says, I believe in the Son of God. You are defined by that Savior. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, we come to this very consequential lesson in Colossians, and I invite you to remember that faith upon which your eternal life is built. The faith by which you confessed your sins, by which you renounced the devil and all his works and all his ways in your baptism. The faith that qualifies you for an inheritance that cannot fade or spoil or perish, that's kept by God for you until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that faith that brings us to the Lord's Supper today. It's that faith that leads us beyond these doors and helps us live life in a way that contradicts the powers at work in this world. Because we know that we have in our hearts and our souls the word of truth, and with the word of truth, the power, the authority of God Himself. So live that contradicting life. Show yourself to be citizens of another's kingdom. Show yourselves to be the children of God that you are. And make Concordia that kind of distinctive body of believing Christians. In this very confused and confusing world on a very confused and confusing weekend. Amen. Amen.